After Buzzers, thank you so much for tuning in to another after show for Dead of Summer here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are discussing Season 1, Episode 10, the finale, She Talks to Angels, and we have two very special guests here in the studio, so please stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, After Buzzers. Thank you for coming with us on this amazing journey for the Dead of Summer After Show this summer here at After Buzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. And before I will let you know who our special guests are sitting here on the couch, I'm going to introduce my ladies because they're amazing. Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and we'll be looking at the chat, so chime in.
Hey, campers, my name is Amber Plaster, and you guys can tweet at me at Amber Plaster.
And all right, here we go, guys. Amber Coney, Cricket, she was here episode one of our favorite characters. Thank you so much for being here,
Thank
Amber.
Thank you for having me.
And we knew we would follow through with you.
Yes.
We were like, listen, we took a camp pact. We were like, you're coming back to us.
Yeah. There was no blood involved, though. Well, we won't tell about that.
Don't talk about it.
We can't talk about it. Where can everyone find you on social media, for those that don't know?
At Amber Coney across the board on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/AmberConey.
She's a lot of fun to follow, so guys, you definitely should.
Thank you.
Yeah. And of course, Alberto Freza, because Hello. How could we not have him back?
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me again. You guys can follow me on CP Jungle Boy on Twitter and on Instagram.
Well, you have just been there for the long haul. I mean, you made a commitment and you just stayed till like you were dead.
And beyond.
And beyond. And past dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel as though I have been on some kind of roller coaster ride,
yes.
And I'm off and I'm feeling a little bit dizzy and happy.
Same.
How do you guys feel about this season?
It was a crazy season. I feel like so wrong about Braces, about Jessie, right? Mm-hmm. Like from episode one, I was like, I don't like her. And like just the last two episodes had me crying and screaming and cheering for Jessie. And I just am, even when we see Amy's backstory, we still don't get her backstory, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm just so mm-hmm. thrilled that I couldn't figure out the show.
Me too.
I'm delighted.
It was kind of like that for us as well.
It was.
Yeah, going throughout the season and reading every script, it was so unexpected. Like I said before when we were here the other time, the show was really unexpected from the first episode on, you know.
Alberto, were you guaranteed life at any point? Like, all right, you get to live for this long, and Amber, a.k.a., you know, Cricket, of course, you're going to die kind of soon. But ish, middle-ish?
Like, prior to actually entering production?
Yeah, how did
well,
you know?
Well, I mean, logistically, you kind of have an idea, because some people are, like, contracted for a certain amount of episodes in the series, so I had a feeling that I would die. I didn't know when, but, you know, I had, my intuition told me that I would be, like, one of the first people, and then eventually they told me, like, they're gonna make people fall in love with you, or they're trying to make people fall in love with me just to kill me, just to break everybody's hearts, because they're cruel like that.
Well, it did break all of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. That was an amazing backlash, actually.
Oh.
You know, it was amazing to see the fans' reactions and to see how heartbroken and devastated everybody was.
Well, Carrie, talk about your experience at Comic-Con, because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I saw they premiered your episode where you die at Comic-Con, and it was like exclusive, get to see it. Jaws dropped, there were gasps, and there were people around me going, no, not Cricket. So it broke people's hearts. And
good.
It was so shocking. And it was the first death.
It
so
was.
It was like,
it was, yeah.
Right.
Well, the first big one.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so it was like, what?
Right.
Now, did you know, so you said already that you knew how many episodes you'd be in, but did you know later you'd be coming back as like a weird ghost zombie thing?
Well, I figured it out mathematically.
Oh, okay.
Did
you know the extent of what it would be?
I wasn't sure. Yeah, I mean, that was just kind of what I intuited and, you know, gathered based on my rational explanation of it in my mind. So,
Your agent's like, listen, you're booked for this many episodes and you might be alive or dead, but you're going to be there.
I wasn't given any explicit information. I just kind of had feelings. Like, I had... yeah, I had feelings about where the story was going, and I was like, okay, I could see this happening.
Well, wait, sorry. I was going to say, and what about you? Did you, Garrett? Did
you had no idea?
I was
going
to say, we want to call you Garrett. Sure. did you know ahead of time how you would die, or was it as soon as you got that script for that final episode?
Yeah, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how many episodes I was going to.
You didn't? And,
well, you have. I think I can't remember how many it was. I think 7 or something. But
okay,
you didn't know if you would get to the end. Does that make sense? Mm. So yeah, I kind of after the 5th or 6th episode, I was, you know, but you never know with Adam with Adam and Eddie and Ian. It's just, you can have. It's so unexpected. You can just go.
That's true.
Yeah, and ghosts mean nothing. I mean, like they're as real as people on their shows.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what'd you think though when you read your death?
It was
or
a
realization
twist,
of your death too.
It was a cool twist.
It was definitely a cool twist. I had no idea. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I think it was an interesting way for Garrett to go. It wasn't, you know, especially because, I mean, he's on the bench and you hear those those gunshots and you don't know who it is. Is it him? Is it Amy? You know?
Right.
I was going to say, I'm like, I'm sorry, but someone from the chat asked and they had a good question. Did Garrett kill himself so that Amy couldn't kill him? Because all the people who came back were only people that she killed. Is it ever said specifically in the script?
Nope.
What do you think it is? Because you were that character and all.
Well, I think I honestly don't think Garrett would. I mean, he did sacrifice himself, but I think he put himself there in front of Amy to kind of slow everybody else down. I don't think he just, you know, shot himself.
I don't think he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he just, you know, probably died of a natural glass in the abdomen death.
It looked like he kind of bled out.
Yeah.
It was an interesting theory. I was like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. There's a lot still we didn't get answered, which we will get into. I'm going to do that at the end. But let's just start how this episode started, because we get Amy coming out of, you know, smashing Deb to death.
I know.
Like,
so
how
sad.
Long did it take her to clean up? Because that seemed pretty quick.
I know, that was...
And her hair looked on fleek. I was into it.
They're like, she's so pristine.
Like, I wish... Like, how long did that... That would take me a couple hours. After being completely stained in blood, I need a couple hours. It's
but
not
she
a few minutes.
She has some influence, you know? She has some help.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to understand, she's also the girl that, you know, gets shot 3 times.
Yeah, she got shot. Yeah, what a quick...
That so demon has some beauty secrets.
Yeah, I would love to know her beauty secrets. Man.
He knows hair.
He has, like, a really good mud, you know, face cream or something, like a mud mask.
I originally said that I wanted to see Cricket and Blair have their own, like, HBO comedy, and now I need Malphus to have his own reality TV show. I need this in my life.
Oh my
Free
God.
Form, make it happen.
Well, can we just briefly talk about Blair and Cricket, because...
Yeah, please.
Blair didn't get his own episode.
He didn't.
I know.
You know, one of the only ones, and I think it was maybe shared with Crickets, and I just loved your guys' friendship, and we saw this episode again, another nice flashback that you guys would always be together.
I know.
And then I thought that meant, I was like, oh, Blair's gonna die.
Yeah.
He's gonna go with her. But no.
No, but it's even more tragic because it could have been possible if I would have lasted.
Sad face.
It's really funny. Really sad.
Their relationship was great. I mean, they worked off of each other. They helped each other. You know, they knew each other for a long, long time. I think that was a good dynamic relationship.
Right. And we saw each other's evolution. And I think it's so interesting because he carried on his personal evolution after my death, kind of like it kind of reverberated my own evolution. You know, his accepting of his relationship with Drew and everything, and just coming into... ultimately, that means his own acceptance of himself, you know, and being able to just love someone as a human being. It was cool to see him evolve after Cricket had her ultimate evolution, because it was her last.
Yeah, I think Cricket had a big role in what Blair turned out to be.
It was weird, because it was like he inspired her to evolve, and then she inspired him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it's just like this never-ending cycle of, like, building, which is kind of what friendships are meant to serve as. So,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that because it's even after you died.
Yeah.
That it was, because like we said, you're basically the first big character that we learned to love that died. Mm-hmm. And it hurt us all so badly.
Even when you show up as the ghost, I'm like, Cricket, no.
I know. Creepy ghost.
Cricket, I know. No. But in this past episode, yeah, this was like a spirit thing. Yeah.
She didn't have the scars this time, guys.
The scars, yeah.
When you come back, because
it wasn't her
time,
body. It was just an apparition, yeah. Right?
I don't remember.
Well, when your character comes back the first time, I point out, and then we all kind of were like, wait a minute, there's scars on your face, which didn't make any sense because the people didn't see those scars, and that would be after you healed, and you won't heal after you die. But now there's no scars
in this past episode.
In the one, yeah, in the finale.
I don't remember if I had scars on. You just couldn't see them.
No, that's possible.
Maybe.
It was a lot of dark lines.
I did have scars, right?
I think you did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had scars.
Also, it's a different outfit than the one you died in.
I wasn't wearing the Dreamer outfit.
You're wearing a Happy Times rainbow shirt.
No, I was still wearing the Dreamer.
Were you?
Yeah, sure.
And I thought, oh, maybe it's because that's Blair's happiest memory.
The
of
good,
her,
the good vibes.
Yeah, the good vibes shirt. So I was
okay.
Like,
also, I love that shirt. They were trying to have that as my bikini reveal shirt, and then they like slathered me in body makeup, so it kept getting on the white. But it made me look tan and like a goddess or whatever.
I love that body makeup, and I mean that red bikini though too. Still
amazing.
To this day, all of us are like,
they use
you
it
look
on like
fine.
They use it on the promos for like every episode. Yeah, like, it's not relevant, but I get it.
But,
so I get
yeah,
it.
Right.
The tanner was very helpful, let me tell you. And I was like also working out to Drake in my trailer.
Amber looks good in a red bikini, in a dead makeup, in a bear trap, in I don't know what else.
I'm gonna keep you around.
As a ghost.
Yeah. Alberto and Amber, the keep protector. It down, these two ghosts.
Sorry.
Weirdos.
The celebratory night.
Well, of course, let's talk about Drew and Blair a little bit before we get into the rest of it. Because I was, you know, like, are they gone? Did they just make it in peace? But they didn't. They came back, which I very much appreciated. Good people.
Yes.
Somehow I didn't see that coming. But then when they were like, we should call the police, I just thought, like, you know, with scary movies, they're always like, we should do the right thing. And then they run the other way. And they're like, we should call the police. And then I thought, sure enough, one of them would be like, no, we can't. We can't trust them. But they were like, okay. And they called the police, and they drove the bus for help. And I was like, look at them doing the right. This was great. They did everything they should have done.
So courageous.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine just driving in blood everywhere, and kids screaming. And
your windshield just slathered in blood.
In blood, yeah.
But it's good. It balanced out. I mean, there had to be some balance, right?
Yeah.
Because of what was going on at the actual campsite, so. Was that yin and yang situation?
It was good. It was a good B storyline. But I thought they would just be like, oh, there's nothing we can do. They never addressed the little kid, though, who's like,
Anton. Oh, that creepy kid who was painting in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Anton is an enigma.
Anton is creepy. Oh, my gosh. But I guess he saved the day in some way. But he creeps me out.
He needs to come back in season two. And just like,
just shows up.
Just show up, get some insight.
He's like the same exact age in a different era.
Wouldn't his mom be like, honey, what are you saying to these people? Like, you must go back, they're in trouble. Like, calm down, honey, get in the car.
Yeah.
Let's go home and have meatloaf.
She knows he's a weird kid, so she's
like,
whatever.
She's like, he's being weird again.
That's why he's at camp.
I told you, no sugar.
Yeah. Damn it, Anton. He goes again with his talks of ghosts. But he made them come back. He's like the semi-hero, kind of the season, because it's been planted in that he's this, like, no, he's this weird thing this whole season. He's the weird kid.
I mean, I think he was just a bunch of truth. Hanging around. Because,
right? But with a little weirdness, like painting in the middle of the night. But he
totally
never
weird,
leads.
But he never, he never brought anybody to the wrong, he never pointed anybody in the wrong direction.
Right. It's true. I just wish I would never run into him to begin with, so he wouldn't be like, you're in danger. I don't want, I'd rather not know, you know?
You just want to die.
Ignorance
you would have been like Cricket.
No. Die in a bear trap?
Yeah.
But like, at least I wouldn't have seen it coming. It's like more of a surprise rather than like waiting for my death, you
true.
Know? I love surprises.
We're kindred spirits, though.
Okay. Well, let's not put your social media out there tonight, Renee. That's a bit scary.
Yeah, protect her.
Oh, boy.
But it is true that he was this random kid, and I love, you know, this was a camp with campers, which we didn't get to see much of. Just
I know.
The counselors. I don't like Hunger Games. I'm going to be frank with all of you.
What?
I don't like it. I don't like seeing kids get murdered.
What?
Mm. You don't?
Not my thing.
Well, that's a good reason not to like it. It's not necessarily like Hunger Games itself. It's just the concept.
I guess I just can't do it. But so I was really happy that
a bunch of kids didn't
kids
die.
No children
yeah.
died.
Yeah, I hate movies when the actual like kids die. I'd prefer them to just sing the creepy songs and like be in the dark.
That's scary too, though.
Yeah, but it's better than them like dying. Like I don't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to run into Anton, but I don't want to see him get killed at the same time.
True.
Okay. So I just want him to go to another camp.
Would you prefer him get killed or run into him?
Or, like, come into your dreams, Renee.
Oh, she knows the answer.
I don't
want to
have
Look
nightmares
her.
About
She knows
Anton.
The answer. She's like, he can go.
Guys, I can't say this on air.
She's like, nope.
I want to talk a little bit about Garrett and his father.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. this has been a huge, like, through storyline throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. We kind of see it come to fruition, but we don't ever know what's real and what's not real.
Yeah.
And I don't know, tell me a little bit about your journey with you and your father, your character's father, and how this all kind of played out for you as an actor, as a character.
It all comes full circle. You know, Garrett had this huge, he had a huge weight on his shoulders, and he had to, you know, follow in his father's footsteps and do the right thing. And all he wanted was to be accepted by his father he wanted to show him what kind of man he's become. And as you see, the last time he sees his father was when he's a child, and he never had that opportunity to have that conversation with him saying, hey, Dad, you were right all along. I've changed, and this is who I want to be now. So I feel like he felt guilty. He had to do something to be accepted. And I think it's a nice end to his character where he finally is accepted and he sees his dad and he's reunited with him, you know. And I think that's all he wanted, is besides keeping everybody safe, he wanted to be accepted and be reunited with his dad, and it comes and it happens. And as an actor, it was great to play with that because it was unknown, you know. Seeing Garrett's backstory, I got that backstory on episode 7, so kind of what I had prepared before was kind of all out the window after when I got episode 7, I was like, oh wow, okay, this is what it's about. Mm-hmm. So it made it way more deep and way more interesting for me. So I loved the journey. It was great.
So did you know, I mean, when did you know you were going to die exactly? I just want to know.
Literally when I got episode 10. I had no idea.
It's like a week before shooting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys probably were going to expect that not many cast members were going to make it through the show. It is a horror show, so I know a lot of you are.
Our creators were saying that they're like, there will be deaths.
But so, you know, it took a couple episodes for that to happen. You know, like they said, they wanted people to fall in love with cricket. No, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was a great choice to make actually to people fall in love with the characters and really get to a point where they could relate to them. Because I mean, every character has a really nice twist and a really nice they have colors, you know,
right,
but everybody can relate to them, you know.
Yeah, everyone can choose their own person to root for.
You know, there's not one favorite. It's this is my favorite because I relate to, you know, Cricket and Blair and Garrett and whoever.
Must have been so interesting getting your episode way later, like knowing your backstory later, you know.
Yeah,
in like that deep of a capacity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, when I was here, remember the first few pages of episode 7, it was bad kid and good kid. And I thought I was good kid the whole time.
Wow.
And then I only realized that Garrett was the bad kid when, you know, the police car shows up and he says, Damon, get in the car. Garrett, what are you doing?
Whoa. Yeah.
What is that? You know? So it was great for me. I think it made it so much more interesting instead of, you know, Garrett being good the whole time.
Right.
Everyone likes a little bit of a bad boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's also what we were talking about with Amy's character, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like to have that extra dimension is just way more fascinating, you know. Yeah. I think that like a character who's one note, you know, some people are drawn to them because nice is very safe, but they're also not very interesting, you know, and not compelling. So it's better to have those very human elements and the colors of good and bad, because we all exist on like a spectrum of gray. There is really no black and white.
That's a really good point with the characters having such an arc, because I feel like Amy's character and Garrett's character have had opposite arcs, where we think she's good and she becomes complete evil, and Garrett starts out as like a really mean, terrible little kid and, like, gives, like, the ultimate sacrifice at the end and becomes the sweetest, like, most well-rounded guy at the end. And
And same with Jesse.
Duplicates.
Yeah. Jesse also, Jesse everybody thought Jesse was this horrible person. Yeah. Everyone hated her.
Yeah.
Like, even getting to see a little bit of her backstory today with her mom, and we kind of get to see her...
Where she came...
Well, with some sass.
That was the turning point for her, too. That was where she's like, okay, like, you want me to act this way to get what I want? She's okay, like, fine.
We were saying that.
We were rooting for her, by the way. Like, we were like,
Yeah, we're saying that was, like, the beginning of her warpath. Yeah. Because it's, like, she's in a different mindset. Like, fine, screw it. My good life has just made it bad for me. I'm going to go different. We had a couple of quick questions for Garrett's character. For the logistically, when you were on the bench, how long did you have to be there while they shot that?
Okay, so when Garrett was literally dead... maybe 5 minutes.
Short, right? Yeah.
Okay. It was just a shot of him there.
So it feels a lot longer on TV, but that's probably the easiest shot of the day, right?
It was the easiest shot of the day. Because I made the choice to stay with my eyes open, and then, you know, they like, give us a couple of ways, different ways of doing it, but I was hoping they would keep the eyes open. I was like, please. It's just cooler.
Yeah, it is. It's like, okay, he's really dead.
Yeah.
He's not just sleeping.
Yeah. We've had a few people in the chat say that now you're the caretaker of the lake.
Yeah. Garrett becomes the protector of the camp. The spot, Holyoke, you know, he was killed, if you want to say, again. And Garrett, you know, takes his spot and he's able to become the protector of the camp, which I think he deserves.
You know. He was like meeting his destiny in a way. Like that was what he was vying for since the beginning of the series, you know. So
I just wish I knew if his dad was there to help him, like run the death camp, you know. That's what we're going to call it now.
Whoa, don't call it that.
All right, you're right. You're right. I had my bat mitzvah, and they say we don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
But, you know, are they there telling them that, like, we're just going to run this together now, or is it just you?
You mean now that he's become the protector of the camp?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his dad will help him. I mean, he's reunited with him.
You know?
I think it'll
be a
nice...
The beams of light?
The Sykes get together and...
Team Sykes.
Hashtag
Team Sykes. Sykes.
But you do bring the little bottle of this bad spirit.
Yeah, that's the pure water.
But I guess I would feel good with you having it more than anybody else and it just laying around, right? So it goes back into the lake with the goodness. So like it's like the good and the bad is in the lake. And I was
Well, it was the pure water inside that we didn't think was necessarily empty.
No,
and
because
then,
remember.
But then the blood crawled in there. Yeah. But then, like, did that neutralize it? And then in taking it, the water did...
I don't think it's neutralized. I think it's,
well,
like, still bad.
Well, that blinding white light was the purification.
But did it come from the water bottle?
I think it was...
No, it comes from the lake.
Yeah.
You remember that even all the other characters walking in the water at the end, when they get submerged, they have that... But, I mean, father and son, bigger light.
Yeah.
For the both of you, was it cold to walk in that lake? And how many times did you have to walk and do your...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was chilly. Yeah, but it was fine. I mean, we were just... Oh, actually, no.
No, when you had to walk.
No, that wasn't me. That was my stunt double.
Nice.
Yeah, I was thinking because we did a shot where we were facing them, but they just cut it. So they ended up just using the stunt double shot. Yeah.
Well, do you remember when we had you here for the first episode, but you were going back to Vancouver to shoot?
Yes, yes.
So it was to shoot those... You know, odd, like, because at the point we had you, we didn't know you were going to die. We didn't know what was going to happen. So you went back to shoot, like, the, you know, cricket dead.
I was shooting my death episode, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had her on episode one. So.
But episode one aired, like, while we were well into shooting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I was probably like, that's why it was probably really hard for me to, like, keep it. You know what I mean? Because I came in while I was in, you know, in that,
I will say something about Alberto, though, because you threw us. You probably don't even know that you don't remember. So we asked you, someone asked you, who you have more chemistry with.
Yes,
if it was Jesse or Amy. And you were like, well, not Jesse. Because it's more Amy that the chemistry is with. Does anyone remember this?
Or yes,
is
well, it was,
I remember what I said.
You had a very good, safe answer in terms of one, it was a more immediate, and the other was more developed.
Yeah, because Amy or Elizabeth and I started working together first. I mean, she was the first person I worked with. I think it was the first scene that I shot was with her, maybe the second scene. So her and I got to know each other on set and off set. She was actually the first person I met out of the whole cast. So I think that we had an earlier, you know, connection rather than with Jesse, and who's played by Paulina. But I think as the show evolved, the connection between me and Paulina became also very, very strong. It was just a matter of when it would happen.
Timing.
Rather than who it was with.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about Garrett and Jesse's relationship? A lot of people are like, talk about Garrett and Jesse.
I think the both of them, if only he could, you know, survive, you know, they would, I think they would have had a beautiful future together. I mean, especially after what they've been through now, it probably solidified their relationship even stronger.
No one else could understand that.
What a strong couple.
Absolutely. Imagine, yeah. It was really strong after everything they've been through and all the sacrifices that they did in order to, you know, save each other and save other friends of theirs. I think their relationship became way stronger, and I would have been really interested to see if their relationship did progress where they'd end up. It's kind of melancholic for me too as well.
So I just had I was like, wait, when Deb sees her guy later after he's been dead, can Jesse come back and see you again?
That's what I thought. I thought that same thing too.
I think so.
Maybe. Hopefully.
I think if he's needed.
Technically, she was seeing him.
Right.
She was. Yeah.
But later.
Yeah.
Like, if we. You know,
but I don't think Jesse's gonna step foot in that camp again. Yeah. For real.
Probably not.
I think
not.
Garrett would be very upset if she came back because of her own safety.
And I think, you know, Jesse needs to do her life. She has a new life now, you know. She needs to go and explore and have fun and experience.
Yeah. I do love that Jesse was Garrett's first kiss and his last kiss.
Like, you got it.
At least in this life, I don't know what's lurking in that leg.
Oh, no. She's like, I'm Cricket. Here.
Cricket's in that leg.
True story, though. I mean, if I were lurking in that lake, I would, you know, you should be his first afterlife kiss.
There you go. Right. Now they won't be alone. They have each other.
They get their own, like, spinoff.
Yeah.
You think we go to the same place? They go to the same place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's sure about it.
Yeah, right? He's like, I'm not sure about you. I'm not sure where you went. But that was another question I had. Like, all of that light into the water. Where are they going? I'm assuming that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I get that's a good thing. But also, we've seen people walk into the lake and it not be a good
thing. Not be a good thing.
Well, we're informed by the music, right? So, I mean, anytime somebody creepily walks into the lake, the music is like, this is going to end badly for you. Uh-huh. And then the ending music was full of white, bright light, sunshine, and the water even looked different to me. It was like a deep blue.
Somebody thought
it was like
darker.
An aqua or, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You're not alone on that. Yeah.
Totally. No, it was.
Yeah,
I was so suspicious.
Nice.
I mean, I think they went to a nice place, the bright white light, but I was still, like,
I was
waiting for something else. But the creepy music with the camp kind of indicates that
I think
something's
that,
off.
I think it's still a battle between good and evil
absolutely.
In that lake, you know? Okay. I think that it doesn't just neutralize or turn good. I think that the forces are always opposing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's with the ominous, like, there's my word.
With
the ominous sign swaying in the wind, you know, you see that those forces are still going to be at large. Yeah. You know, it's going to be an ongoing thing for the
And that's why they need a new protector.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do love, though, the parallel, because I was drawing parallels with Amy and Deb all season, trying
so many
to figure
parallels.
That out. But it really, to me, in this episode, was Jesse that could possibly, because we still don't, okay, we know that Deb's boyfriend died from an overdose, but it was all weird.
Yes.
She had that sex scene in the woods, and it was just like, we just kept on seeing, like, things that were reminiscent of things that were happening to Amy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, now, Jesse's love has died, and he stayed there, and it just kind of seems as though that is the new pattern that Jesse is getting on with, that Jesse could be the new Deb. That's what I think.
Oh, well, that's
interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting.
I could see that because, you know, she is the most well-educated of the group. She's a leader, and she's ambitious, and she likes to fix things. And so I think that she definitely has the ability to come back and fix the camp. But I feel like she's smarter than that.
Yeah, she would have learned from Deb's mistakes,
yeah,
I think
so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
One could hope, yeah.
Yeah.
But then this camp is so strong. It just pulls you in.
Right.
Like, we were having this conversation the last time I was here. Is why don't they just leave? And I was like, no, they have nowhere to go.
Right. I know.
I do have to say, though, when, like, we've been kind of, like, you know, episode to episode, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just leave? And especially, like, Renee, like, episode two was like, guys, it's too creepy. Why aren't you talking about it? And why aren't you leaving? And I'm so happy that in the final episode, like, you're thinking they have to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the magic of Holyoke keeps them there. And I was like, finally, like, a solid reason that they're all stuck at this camp. Like, I was like, yes, this is delicious. So
what was up really with cool. Jesse running at Amy? That was weird. When they're like, run! She first runs towards Amy and then gets hit by the force field and then falls backwards and then turns around and runs the other way.
Yeah.
It was, why? But why would you run at her?
Because she's going to... hacker with an X.
No. When they're first trying to leave and Amy's
turned... Oh, by the car? And
yeah.
When
it was weird. Like, why did Jesse
come out?
Yeah.
I think that was a way to escape.
Yeah.
And so she was taking... Well, we saw it.
She wasn't really going straight to her,
but
she was
going that way. Yeah.
Slight angle, and then he got hit and turned... Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a panic move.
All right.
As well.
Scrappy's mom, who I love, who's like my fifth mother, I guess, Scrappy's mom, my internet mom, because she really loves our show and makes nice comments. So,
hello.
Hey, Scrappy's mom.
Hi, Scrappy's mom.
Scrappy's mom, though, said that's why Deb went back to see her first love again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've
Jesse needs to stay away.
Jesse needs to move
well,
on.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't mean she's going to.
She needs
yeah.
to.
Hopefully she'll find another boy, you know, and just be happy outside of the camp. No offense.
Aww.
Garrett was so great, but he's dead.
No, I agree with you.
Well, Deb had some connection with her dead guy.
Yeah, but...
An intimate nature, so, I mean, Jesse could come back anyway.
Yeah, but Deb made bad choices, clearly.
Yes.
hopefully Garrett can find Jesse
I was
going to
say, like, let's...
There you go.
Garrett absorbed power of the lake,
yes.
And now he can go... infiltrate Jesse where she... Well, not. Really.
Oh, really?
No. He can. He's a spirit. But he can
go visit
Jesse where she is.
Yeah. We'll find
wrong word choice.
Okay.
No, I don't excellent. Do that often.
Two of us tonight. I mean, fair enough.
Right. There we go.
Okay, let's get into our question and answer part of the show.
We had a few people say, "Oh, your poor mom then. Like, who's going to go tell her?"
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she even says it in one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, I already dealt with one.
Yeah.
You know,
can't
deal with a second one.
I kind of kept waiting for her to reappear. I a lot of my predictions were like, "Oh, she's going to
like,
be
woman
the...
hands. She's Garrett's mom.
She's going to whatever." But,
wow.
I was waiting for her to come back around.
Yeah. I think Garrett kind of tried to keep her, you know. After a couple episodes, he kept going to the diner and telling her what was going on. But I think he realized, listen, I got to keep her at a distance
because
what she's going through must be so difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after, I think it was in episode 6 or 7 when they're sitting across from each other and he finds the cufflink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was the thing where it was, okay, maybe this is a little too much for her.
Mm. Right.
Maybe it's a little too real. Let's kind of step away from it.
At least she was caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One good mom in this series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
Mm. Rough.
Anybody else notice at the end, it's a woman, transgender, and a gay man who survived?
I did. I loved it. I was like, the diverse survived.
Yeah.
It was so great.
Yes.
Because there was a lot of comments about, like, oh, of course the black kid dies. There was a lot of anger when Joel died. Mm. And I was
he died
like,
so late, though.
I was like, he was not the first
no.
to die. Mm-hmm. He lasted a long time. And I was like, and also there's Jesse who's killing it. You know, so I'm really happy with, first of all, the diversity of the entire show.
Yeah.
And that, you know, some, not only some, but the majority of the diverse characters lived. So that was refreshing.
I just need to say something that Boo69B said. She is so funny sometimes.
Boo69B.
She said Jessie can just take a pottery class at her college, and Garrett appears behind her and helps her make a vase.
Yeah, we had some people say ghost it. Yeah.
You down for that?
I enjoy that reference.
That's hilarious.
Are you down, like, you will take Patrick Swayze's shoes, or are you totally cool with that? Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they're big shoes to fill, but hell, I'll do it.
I would have that as a young Patrick Swayze. I would have that.
I would totally.
I'd watch
you
that.
You know, I have to tell you, I received one of the funniest tweets the other day. I can't remember who it was, but episode 9, Jessie's sprinkling water on Amy, and she starts saying the water washes your filth away, be purified, and then Garrett and Alex says, washes your filth away, be purified, and I get a tweet saying, I know a lot of people that I would like to sprinkle with water and say, it washes your filth away, be purified. It was great. It
would be nice.
Yeah.
I think some people do that. They take that seriously.
They just, like, spray people.
Yeah. So be purified.
Well, now people can just send a meme of a GIF of you guys doing
that. Exactly.
Yeah. Send the message, as it were.
They're having a Twitter war.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got here, ladies?
All right. Some questions of what was your favorite scene to film in the finale?
Well, mine was the scene between Blair and I, you know, because it's so meaningful. And it was the last scene, I think, I was shooting of that episode, so it was, like, super sentimental for me, because I was like, I'm done. Yeah.
So. When you guys were sitting on the stoop and just being like, we're a great team, I was like,
Yeah. Yeah.
All the feels. I couldn't do it.
I love Mark so much.
He's so great.
It was so great to
have
him.
I was just telling her how much I miss him.
I know.
Yeah, we had dinner, and I was telling her.
I know I've said this before many times, but if anybody would like to put you and Mark in a show, in a comedy, watch it.
Now.
So hard. even if it's Blair and Cricket, I don't care.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know how it's possible. I just want it.
Let's do the spinoff. That'd be great.
The spinoff.
Yeah.
The prequel. I don't care.
You have to be in it, though.
The Blair Cricket Project. Ooh. How did I get that? Oh, man.
Yes.
What about you, Alberto? What was your, like, favorite thing to do in the movie?
Oh, man, it was... I really, really enjoyed filming the scene while I'm walking into the lake to meet with my father.
That was
really, really fun and...
Powerful.
Just about... Yeah, it was really powerful in the emotions that were going on, and it was super fun. And also one that I enjoyed was... the scene when Jessie and Garrett see Garrett's actual human body dead, and that scene that they had between each other, I think, was very, very fun.
The kiss.
Yeah. Paulina and so I beautiful. Think, had a lot of fun doing that scene, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Both those moments.
We do have a question in the chat. What was your favorite line of the whole season?
I love summer! No, that was, like, something I ad-libbed when we were all in the tank. It was, like, 4 a.m., and we're all, like, half-drowning, and, like, they're like ad-lib, like, talk about camp, whatever, and I was just like, I love summer! I was delirious. You were there? Were you there?
Something Ronan was saying was that since there's so many the actor Ronan who played Alex on the show was saying there's so many night shoots that you guys would just get delirious around 3 or 4 a.m.
I was gone.
Coffee was a real lifesaver.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, you guys were shooting till, I mean, when was the month? Like, when
it was all August. It was mostly night shoots. The producing team was like, yeah, when we were creating this horror show, like, or decided to come onto this horror show, we didn't realize it would be all night shoots. Like,
wait, you don't realize that. Kids?
Night shoots, children, mosquitoes, like the elements, like just being in the woods, water.
Lots of water.
Yeah. Steepy scaring everybody.
Oh my gosh.
I had so much fun. Oh, it was so great.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Not only that, was I scaring Mark, then I started scaring her, then I started scaring the makeup artist.
And then me.
And then you. Yeah, we scared you guys. So, we got you today. Yes,
those two. Yeah. We actually got pranked a little bit today.
It's so fun to watch you guys, watching you watch the episode.
Yeah. We were leaning in.
That was a great scare.
And, like,
it was
hoping
a
that nothing
moment.
Would happen. And yeah. looking and looking. And then he came up behind us. We both of us and scared the crap out
of him. So, for those of you that were not there, though, Alberto and Amber, but mostly Alberto, we were very into the episode, you know, like I was on my toes and I was really looking out for these two though when they were going to come in the studio. And
it was
the
right
second
when we hear
I wasn't
Jesse.
Yeah. Alberto comes up behind me and just like is like ah, and we all screamed.
It's fine.
It wasn't just me, right?
Me too.
It was a little bit too.
No, I was. Wondering.
Yeah, I was like, I think he only tapped you guys.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I was watching and I said, Garrett already died. So it'll be nice to just show up. It's like, wait, what?
It's right that moment. Yeah. But so we have a few more questions from the chat, and one of them was, and this is for both of you, what is the biggest thing that you feel that you learned from each of your characters, Cricket and Garrett? What is your takeaway from your characters?
Oh, my God. A lot.
Yeah, there's so much.
There's so
I'm like,
much.
Where do I begin?
Just off the top of your head.
Well, for me, for Cricket, I mean, I learned something essential to my entire path. And I mean, in a nutshell, it's self-acceptance. But obviously it's very dynamic and colored. I felt like I was evolving along with my character. You know, she was obviously in a different place in her life, but I feel like there was things on the shoot that like I needed to work through to really like be who I truly am and love who I truly am. And Cricket was coming to the same realizations, and that was her turning point in her character arc. So yeah, I mean, I think loving yourself to the deepest capacity is what will elicit the fullness of your being in every way. And so that's kind of the journey that I'm on and that I'm taking. And I'm just so glad that Cricket was able to experience some of that. And through that character, I was able to share that message with the world. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Aww. That's so sweet.
That's yeah. wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think that us as humans, we have a bigger purpose. And to come into, you know, not to always think about yourself. Sometimes you definitely have to put yourself out there for the well-being of others. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean sacrificing yourself, but, you know, random acts of kindness. And if you can lend a helping hand to somebody, do it. And not for, you know, not for you to feel good or for other people to say, oh, look, he did the right thing, but just to help somebody else. Just, you never know what people are going through. Everybody's fighting a different battle. So you never know when somebody might just need a hug, you know? And Garrett kind of took the extreme. He sacrificed himself for the people he loved. And sometimes you got to do that. And I think it's very, very important. Yeah.
Hmm. What do you think our key takeaways as hosts of this after show are after this season? What do you guys think?
Oh, me first?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
pressure. Oh, gosh. Be careful who you trust. Don't trust the nice girl.
Blondes. We don't think we have any blondes in this room, no, so we can say that, right?
Never judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
Well, blondes,
be accepting of others. Be kind to one another, for sure. Do you guys...
you mean in terms of, like, watching the show or just the experience of the...
Well,
covering the show?
Watching the show, seeing the characters develop, because I think that there was a message that was trying to be sent out to all of us, which I think, you know, Alberto touched on, which is to be kind to each other. Everyone's past will catch up to them kind of thing.
I think one of the biggest ones is you don't know what people are going through. Ever.
Yep.
You never know. And sometimes they could be behaving in a way, and you can't assume that... that's who they are. There could be something going on and you don't know. So you should treat people with kindness because they don't know what you're going through, because you could be going through something crazy and nobody's going to know. And thus, other people could be doing the same kind of thing, going through something really good or really bad, and they're not necessarily going to tell you. Be like, by the way, this happened in my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So to be more understanding of people.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I think that Dead of Summer has a really good theme of growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was like, you know, when I was in school, I would always look forward to the summers because I'd be like, what's going to happen? You know, like, who am I going to be next year? I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to whatever, be really smart next year, like have a boyfriend next year, whatever. I would like try to like dream that up. And so whatever people want to present to you and kind of want to be, you have to be more accepting of that and mindful of that, even if it's not your vibe. And I think it's, I think that the overall theme of acceptance, you know, if they want to present male or they want to present female or they want to present in charge and smart, maybe they don't get that at home. Maybe they're not getting what they need at home and they're presenting that at work or school. So,
And Dead of Summer was really smart. Well, not smart, but I'm saying it really had that element of you don't know what they're going through at home. And that's like what I said last time. What home are they going to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's they all come from really broken families and dark pasts. And, you know, they go there to find themselves and to find something new and different and nice, you know.
Yeah, it's so hard to judge a person when you realize there are so many forces at play, you know, in their life. And like, you know, a person may behave in a certain way that you can deem as good or bad or acceptable or non-acceptable, but there's so many factors that are contributing to that behavior. As we saw with everybody in the cast, their characters, there was like just so much more to them than met the eye, which is, I think, what you were saying, Gary. So... Yeah,
I love that. And I love, to me, Lost was one of my favorite shows of all time. And
yeah, me too.
I just, you know, to me, I'm like, when people ask me about this show and then I cover it and I say, well, it's like Lost, but for teenagers at summer camp. Because they're all finding a place to go where they belong. They never felt like they belong. I love the flashbacks about it that we're explaining these characters. I fell in love with the show, and I'm sad that a lot of them are dead, but dead is not dead, and I think I'm just in infinite denial, but you never know,
you never know. And I think Dead of Summer did a really good job in the last three episodes. Just it got really gritty.
It got crazy.
Yeah. I was really, really happy to see that.
Yeah.
They didn't really hold back.
Yeah.
Boom, let's go for it. You know?
We all talked about the twist with Amy on the last episode. What were your thoughts, both of you, when you read that that's what Amy's all about?
I knew.
I was happy. I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
Because like I was saying, I was like, oh, thank God she's not just like this flat, nice girl. Like, that's so boring. I'm so over that.
I think Elizabeth must have had so much fun playing that role.
Yeah.
She played so many, and, you know, Russian, and, and you know, her being, well, it wasn't really her doing those crazy voices from other people. But at the same time, it's like, it's in your mind, you know, you're saying words that are supposed to come out of somebody else's mouth. I think her character was so dynamic and had so many different colors to it, which was, I think, must have been so much fun to play.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not saying Garrett wasn't, but I'm saying...
Well, even if you knew, though, was it still a surprise to see the details of what actually goes down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, we weren't really given any details at the end anyway.
Yeah, right.
It was like, oh, yeah, Amy's the bad one. Like, okay, and Amy kills you, and how? You get stabbed, and no, I don't get stabbed, and I was supposed to get bit on my neck, and then it was my ear.
You're supposed to get bit?
What?
You're supposed to get bit?
Don't you remember?
She Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you never know. You never know. Dead of Summer. Yep.
Dead of Summer. Hashtag you never know.
You never know, yeah.
Oh.
Hashtag. Yeah, watch out. Do we have any last comments, questions from anyone that we want to address before this season is over?
I just had that realization at dinner.
Know. Like, it's, he had a moment.
Aww.
It was such a moment.
It hit me. I was like, it's over.
Yeah, because we were like, I was with my roommate and him and my roommate and I were like, we're celebrating tonight. Yay. Like, we're so sad but excited that like we had this experience. Ooh. And then he's like, it's over.
It really is.
It just all dawned on him. Like, his entire universe just went...
Because, you know, you finish shooting, but the episodes is still airing.
Yeah.
So you kind of really don't think about it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to last forever.
It's going to go on forever.
And then now it's... Oh, no.
Dead of Summer.
Yeah. Not only did we say goodbye to a lot of our castmates, now we're saying goodbye to the show.
But we're in town together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are good. Yeah. We're still here.
Yeah, you're here.
We'll see you soon.
Anytime you want to see us.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a bit about what we think could happen in the next season.
Yeah.
If and when, knock on wood, because there's no wood, I'm going to knock on my head. Dead of Summer gets picked up.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Predictions.
Ooh.
Sorry, Renee, I'm going to start with like you again.
Yeah. Okay, so I think some crazy person is going to try to bring this camp back to life, and when they do, I think when they're all swimming, they're gonna find that like water bottle with the blood in it, and then they're gonna unleash the evil, and it'll happen all again.
Wait, question: do you guys know kind of what they might be going for in the second season?
No.
Okay, so it's been announced. It's in our articles and stuff.
Ooh,
so our creators basically, this is going to be an anthology series, and it's going to take place in different eras. So it'll be completely new story, completely new characters, same location, and a different time period.
Oh. Yeah.
So it could really go anywhere, but like obviously you're seeing kind of where the story is based, and you know how it could kind of delineate in certain manifestations.
Really quickly to clarify, do you mean different characters but the same actors, or do you mean completely new cast?
It should be the same actors. That's what we've been told. So,
so wait, you guys, we would be back.
Yeah,
and play
I mean, I'm hoping. I'm like,
really?
Yeah. Awesome. So that's why I was. I said, I think I posted something, and I was like, I'll be back. And I think people thought they meant I come back alive, but I really meant like I'll be back in season two. Yeah. Yeah, so
which I think, you know, for an actor, that's the dream, you know.
Yeah.
You come back and you play a whole different character, and you're able to explore different things.
I mean I'm fingers crossed, because that would be such an amazing experience to like have a whole just new role to play with the same ensemble, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's like shooting a movie.
Yeah. You
know, for 6 months.
So anyway, now you can make your prediction.
Well, a lot of people said it's going to be the 70s when Deb is a counselor, right?
I think Eddie had mentioned the 70s. I'm not sure if it's actually the 70s, but I think the 70s was mentioned somewhere.
And I mean, so I'm not sure if they're going to have some characters, you know, make a reprise, or if they're just going to have completely new storyline, you know. But I mean, Deb should be there, I guess, because she was.
It'll be young Deb.
Yeah, young Deb. Yeah.
So which we did see.
She'd
briefly.
Be a different. It'd be a different actor. Yeah. So it just, I mean, there's so many ways it could go, but that's kind of what.
I mean, it's so hard to make. Well, I hope we would figure out what Deb's backstory was.
Yeah.
That's what I predict, is we would find it out, because that was the thing that we're like, Amy's like, well, you're not so innocent either, and it's just like, that's all we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I want more. So.
There's still a few open-ended questions, I think, even now. And I think it could go one of two ways. I think that if it were me, I would make it set in the 90s.
Yes.
Set with Creepy Boy. He's now a teenager.
Mm.
And now he's like Alex.
Anton.
Anton. Starts with Anton, right?
Oh, my God.
Because it could be a different actor.
Is he, like, sexy? No, he's weird.
Let's not even think about his weird mother.
I want him to be super weird. Like, I want him to be, like, gangly and just super weird.
Dangly?
Gangly.
Oh, I thought you said dangly.
Dangly.
Whoa.
I don't think so. Also, something that they could do very easily is make it in the 1800s where that, like, where Holyoke originated.
And I would love that. Can you imagine?
The whole cast could be the followers, right? The grandparents or whatever. That would be easy to do as well.
I would love that.
If you take it super far back.
Yes.
But I don't think Freeform's done, like, a super far back one.
Well, we, you know, it's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freeform, I mean, they've never done horror. Yeah.
They've never done horror.
Yeah. First.
They never done an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
True. So we are forging the path.
Yeah. What time period would you both like to play if you could play any time period of where, if the show could go at any time period in the history of it, which would you like to play?
I don't want to do 1920s, darling. Well, like 30s, you know.
Yeah. The camp opened in 1924, so you could.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, 50s. 70s also.
70s would be cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
50s and 70s, I'd say. Mm. 90s were cool.
90s would be cool because of grunge rock. There's a lot of darkness that they could play with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to take a big leap to next season because they feel like 90s is too close to 80s.
It's a little bit.
Going to need a big...
I mean, yeah, because it was 89, so basically it was...
Yeah,
I think early 70s probably.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, and I have said many times I'm not all set with Deb's story. I was really hoping to get more, so I want more of Deb's story, and I don't think Deb would go out that easy.
I think that she is somewhere lurking her spirit, whatever, because I have been watching the show back ever since last week when we had Elizabeth Skyping in. I was like, I'm going to watch it all back as much as I can. I'm going to see where I can get it. And I'm like watching all these little loopholes and I'm like, no, Deb.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up the Deb and, you know, Amy thing. They are, it's just a thing. And I'm so excited to see where this can possibly go in the future seasons. Thank you so much for being here twice at AfterBuzz.
Yes, thank you guys.
It was so much awesome. Fun
so lovely. One more time for the fans, where can they find you on the interweb?
I am at Amber Coney on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/AmberConey.
And I'm CP Jungle Boy on Instagram and Twitter. She laughs all the time.
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane.
Thanks for watching, guys. My name is Amber Plaster. You can tweet at me at Amber Plaster.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. You can find all of us, of course, at AfterBuzz TV, Twitter and Instagram. Me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. Keep on tweeting at us using the hashtag ABTVDOS. I will answer you at least because I will find you. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.